Hi everybody, and a warm welcome to this brand new episode on the Joy of Logistics. And yeah, really a pleasure to be here again. And thank you so much for joining everybody. As always, you know me by now, but I'm very excited for today's episode. There will be a lot to learn again. Got a fantastic company, fantastic guests here with me. Whom I already had the pleasure of meeting in real life and actually see, touch, hear, feel the product. This is just amazing. This is just amazing. But for those of you that are joining the first time today, wondering, hey, who is this Christoph guy? Joy of Logistics, huh? Never heard about that. What's going on? Who's this? Let me introduce myself real quick. So my name is Christoph, and I'm the creator and host of the Joy of Logistics podcast series, which will be streamed over to Spotify, YouTube, and I think also iTunes, amongst other. And yeah, reason for creating this platform. I've been in this industry now roughly a decade. And you know, I thought it's time to actually use technology or this piece of technology to use it for what it's actually intended for, to share knowledge, to spread the word, and also to, you know, to set the stage for outstanding companies, for visionaries, for out of the box thinkers. Yeah, because there's just so many brilliant people and companies out there that not everybody knows of. And I thought, hey, yeah, let's create a podcast and let's talk about what is impacting our daily lives. And let's learn about how the future of shipping can be and will be shaped. And yeah, appreciate it that you're also sharing this passion and yeah, that you're joining so frequently. Appreciate that. Thank you so much. And with that being said, we already have some guests in there. John, guten Tag, bon dia, buenos dias, and good morning all. John, thank you so much for joining again. Pleasure having you in the audience again, as always. You're now also following quite some seasons or some episodes, which I highly appreciate it. So thank you for your time. And good morning to Virginia, by the way. Also, Benita is with us again. Yeah, Benita, appreciate it. Glad to hear that you like my new haircut. Thank you also for taking your time and for joining us today. Now, as you've probably read in the description, yeah, why we're coming together today, actually. Well, let's talk about future, but not in a crazy way. Actually, the future is here and is real. It's about the, and I hope I pronounce it correctly, the ELA container, which I've had the pleasure to and the honor to meet and to see in the transport exhibition in Munich this year. Incredible piece of equipment there. And yeah, I'm looking forward to have some interesting conversations today. We also have someone else in the audience. I wanted to quickly shout out to Regina. Regina, appreciate it. Thank you so much for your time, for joining today. Stay tuned. It's going to be epic. And since there will be a lot of information being shared and talked about today, make sure you have pen and paper ready. And with that being said, without further ado, I'm very happy to that they are joining us today. So we have two guests from Ehler, both founder and management positions, which is David Bauer and Naik Landano. So warm welcome for the folks. There we go. Thank you so much for joining, and thank you so much for taking your time out of your busy schedule. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much. And thank you very much for your very nice word. about our container. I remember you definitely touching the container in Muni.
Right.
quite a connection moment. So,
yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely. I had to, you know, because up and then I was just, you know, reading about it, of course, seeing on the internet videos, whatever, but actually stand before it or literally standing inside the container. It was just a whole nother experience. So appreciate it. And for those folks in the audience that never heard about who you are and the fantastic piece of equipment that we've just been talking about, would you give us a little introduction of the company and also who you guys are, what you guys do?
Yep, with real pleasure. So Ailer is now a 6-year-old idea that merged into now what's quite a rather big scale up company. We really came to the very simple consideration, and I'm pretty sure we'll elaborate this topic a bit later on, but that the container is one of the most central tool of the logistic industry. And at the same time, it's a tool that in specific market is a bit underserved. So Nick and myself went with this very simple consideration and started working onto this concept. And based on our respective background, we really improved on this concept up to the point of having a product that people can touch and feel and feel excited about.
Maybe to elaborate on this as well, we had basically three, and thanks a lot for the invitation, Christophe. Super happy to be here. We basically had three major problems that we're trying to tackle, right? Holistically about the industry, which is operational efficiency, which is the main reason people get gray hair in this industry so fast. And then the second one is visibility, which is a topic, right, that has been central for a few years, but still being solved, and more recently, sustainability. And what we really realized, just to echo what they were saying, is that those are problems that are touching the entire flow, end-to-end of logistics. And there was one object that was also touching the entire flow, which is a container, but that's to this day has always only been seen as a box. Like its only purpose is just to be empty space. And we thought that was a waste of space, right? Because looking at the container differently could actually solve these issues. If it could not only carry cargo, but also solve some of these problematics, it could turn from just empty space into a value-added infrastructure for the industry. So that was the initial thought process that we had when we started on that journey, and that we have now validated quite extensively with several key stakeholders in the industry.
Fantastic. I appreciate that. But before we go further, quick question here. For the non-creative starting folks out here, how can we envision this process? I mean, is it like you get out of bed in the morning and you're like, yeah, we need to completely, remodel the concept of a container? Or how can we imagine that?
Yeah, so in the specific case of this ideation, it's been really a co-construction, let's say, of different ideas and concepts. We've been introduced about 7 years ago, Nick and myself, another friend, a common friend, and together we had to discuss a bit. We wanted to discuss about the logistic industry because both of us had our little experience and I could say trauma on this field. And through this discussion, we really went quite generic on how could we make logistic better. You know, it's those big statements that are interesting because it opens a bit the ideas and concept. And from that, quite quickly, we went to the notion of let's make a zero emission container ship. That was a bit the starting point of this ideation.
Would have been an expensive prototype.
Exactly. Expensive prototype. To the transition of, in fact, what's interesting is that the container ship is nothing more than just a tool, right? It's just a tool that moves the important element of the logistic chain, which is the container itself. And from that, there has been a bit of a ping pong of brainstorm on, okay, how old is the container for now? what are the things that we can improve, etc. And I think it's quite connected a bit with our respective background too. So myself, I'm a micro engineer with a minor in management. And so I had more the product idea and concept in mind. Whereas on Nike's side, it was more connected onto the notion of the business itself. So quite quickly with this ideation, we split apart straight away.
Yeah, fantastic. Absolutely. And I would say one thing that helps a lot also is extensive walks in the Swiss mountains. There are a lot of there's a lot of fresh air there to help you think a little bit differently. And really the target for us was to realize where were the gaps, right? I mean, there's a lot of fantastic work that's being done in logistics. There are a lot of things that are difficult to move because there are a lot of stakeholders. And we just realized that the container was something that no one was really working on extensively, and that there could be a lot of benefit for everyone involved making it better. Right. And that's really the sort of challenge what we tackled from the early days. And right now, the way that we work, it has never been, you know, on our side, an aha moment. I mean, we started co-constructing that in the very beginning, but very quickly we had to turn to the industry, right? To stakeholders, to discuss with you know, world-renowned people that are working either on the shipping line side, freight forwarding side, on the customer side, on the depot side, you know, from ports and so on, and to get all their inputs in terms of, okay, what would be the ideal scenario, right? If we could work to build something from a blank page, what makes sense? And this is why, you know, it's not 1 year down the road that we're sitting here, but more 6 years down the road that we're sitting here, right? It takes a while to sort of change technologically and in terms of the business models as well, how things can evolve. So the notion of tackling the industry's challenges through the container, that came early on. The how and the specifics of what makes sense to change and where the value lies, that is a long road of you know, trial and error, basically.
Wow. Wow, that's really fantastic. Appreciate the share. Thank you so much for that. And as David already alluded to in the beginning, where he said, yeah, most of the time, the container itself is just considered a box, you know, in various sizes and various colors, obviously, but more or less the same, right? Mm-hmm. And also, if we go back in time, since the invention of the container in the 60s. Yeah, not that much has really changed, right? So I already saw the container, but for people in the audience that might wonder, hey, what is there actually able to improve on the box? Because it's a box, you know? And of course, in the Planet or in the Joy of Logistics series, we've already had as a guest, Spectainer, which are completely foldable containers and collapsible containers, which in itself is a pretty interesting concept and product itself. But you guys and Ayler, you're going down a whole different path, and maybe you can a little bit dive into your product or your holistic approach, better to say, in what's different with you guys.
Yeah, no, absolutely, and like you said, right? I mean, the container is a simple object. It seems to be difficult to imagine where it could be improved, and we know Nick quite well from Spectainer as well. And the notion here, I mean, there are a lot of challenges that come from utilizing a container, right? So it's not so much the container itself that one has to look at, but the purpose it serves, right? And how we can actually do little tweaks that actually improve how it can be used. In our case, the direction that we took is using advanced materials, to be specific, composite materials, even recycled plastics, to make a container that is not only stronger, but much better insulated and more aerodynamic as well. So basically, what it does is that it allows for more payloads to be loaded, especially on flex tank transportation. It allows, especially on the 40-foot version, it will even be lighter as well. So those are some of the possibilities also with composite materials. It allows the container to be insulated. So it's an in-between a dry and a reefer container, which means that for cargo that needs to be moved at room temperature, we're able to avoid customers the need to add one-time insulation or to really explicitly request for non-operating reefers when they, you know, are difficult to get. And the last thing is that our container reduces about 20% CO2 emissions on transportation. That's because of the additional payload, but also because the walls being flat, it actually reduces the air drag on road transportation. So it makes the container more aerodynamic, even though it sounds silly to think of a container as being aerodynamic. Well, you can have more or less aerodynamics, and ours is definitely more aerodynamic than a standard container. So it means it's more fuel efficient to move on the road when it's moved on the truck or on rail. So those are just the structural parts already, which are just half of the answer of how we make loading a cargo, protecting cargo more efficient, and we reduce environmental impact.
Exactly. And the second side of this, so we have here the physical advantages. Now we talk about the digital one. And how do we do so? It's really by embedding within the structure itself a state-of-the-art electronic that gather a full information about the container and the cargo. And when I say full information, it's really everything about pressure, humidity, temperature, gases, external and internal, for the cargo to be completely mapped out. And the second about the container, it's door opening detection, GPS location, all those information that are required to know if there has been any breach or any lack of information throughout the entire chain. And the goal for that is reconnected to what Naik mentioned at the very beginning, meaning one of the pain of the logistic industry, which is the lack of visibility. Here, we are making the most central tool sapience. And by making it sapience, we are able, in consequence, to think completely otherwise how the information and the data are shared. I was discussing recently with the port community system and the custom authority, and it's interesting to reconsider how a container that is able to think would be able to behave and interact with a custom authority or with an insurance company or with all those different stakeholders along the chain that need those information. And for those information to be received, we create the we created the platform control tower, which is a bit if you want the digital representation of our digital twin. And by doing this digital twin, we are able, thanks to that, to integrate with the other stakeholders' operation and work. So it's really a physical and a digital product that change a paradigm.
Exactly. Wow. And the last thing, because it's not done in terms of how you can rethink the container. The last thing is, that's what structurally changes, right? So there's structural, there's an intelligence bit. You still keep the same standard. So there will be the same loading capacity in terms of just volume, right? And volumetric is the same. It is completely compatible with the same infrastructure. But everything is reimagined in terms of the materials, the intelligence. The last thing that is reimagined also is the business model. And it is important in terms of, you know, how does a container fit into the value chain? The traditional way would be to either sell it or lease it. Here, we actually bring more flexibility to our customers. We offer it as a service. You have to imagine it as a mobility service, meaning that our customers can get access to a container, even on one-way traffic, without having to become asset managers. So that means that on our side, we also have fleet management, capabilities and intelligence that we develop, right, to make sure that our containers can efficiently be allocated to different customers around the world, for them to have all the flexibility of using the best equipment they can without having the burden of having to manage it themselves.
Wow, that's really something. I mean, that's really a brand new concept, and also based on what you were just sharing with us. At the end of the day, you are, or I would say, you are the pioneers in terms of smart containers, right? Because these days you read on all the major shipping lines, oh yeah, we're going to make the container smart. And of course, each and every shipping line defines the word smart a little bit differently. So for one, it's just more or less an automatic tracking or reporting system. Other ones said, hey, okay, we have a chip in there, you know, and you can track and trace them. On a live time measure, so to speak. Whereas you guys, it has everything, even humidity control and temperature, even. And this one is also pretty significant. It even notes down if there was an opening or a breach of the doors, which is based on what I know. And of course, correct me if I'm wrong here, but based on what I know, this is second to none. You're the first that ever come up with that, right?
So it's a very good question. Definitely, the fact that we touch on the structure means that we can do things that are impossible with just adding on technologies, right? It's that become very difficult. So we are pushing the boundaries as much as possible of what is possible in terms of what a smart container could be. There's a lot of fantastic work that is being done right now in the industry, and you know, it's a big industry to transform. Right. On our side, we're much more on what is the next wave of containers, right? Not so much on how do we replace older ones, which is necessary to be able to bring visibility, and of which there are some fantastic solutions out there. But us, we're more thinking, okay, once containers need to be replaced, what is the next wave? What is the next container going to look like? So if you want an analogy in terms of the automotive sector, we would be more, you know, bringing the phase of electric cars in terms of, okay, what is after combustion engine cars? What is the next wave of the type of transportation that we want? And here apply to containers. So making them more sustainable and with embedded intelligence that is complete, like really has end-to-end everything that is required rather than cherry-picking what might be needed on a trip basis.
Wow. And this also, based on how you also described the transportation, that it be even able or that it be even possible for your clients to, let's say, just on a one-way trucking route or whatever to utilize your container. This reminds me, and sorry for the comparison, but this reminds me a little bit of Uber. You know, when you're in need of an Uber right now for just yourself or for, you know, three people, whatever the number might be, from A to B, wherever it might be, boom, you go online, I like Uber XL or whatever you're intending to take. And so this sort of a service reminds me a little bit of what you were just describing, which in my opinion is also pretty interesting and also second to none, that you're offering a container literally as a service, you know, and that's pretty cool. That's pretty new.
And to bounce back on this, because it's interesting, it's as if your Uber car offer you a massage at the same time, right? Meaning that the container is not only a container, a standard box, but it's a container that is creating value along the chain. You can load 5 ton more cargo. You don't need any one-time use insulative material. You have the best-in-class visibility platform. You have security aspect of it. So it's it offers you the flexibility of a Uber, but the car is not the same car than any other. You are entering in a car that pushes you in an ecosystem that help you to just create value from it. And the second aspect of this value creation is definitely the the sustainable aspect of logistic here, from the fact that as we have all those physical and digital advantages, we can reduce drastically the CO2 impact of any standard shipment. In case of bulk liquid transport, we are talking up to 20% of CO2 that is saved from this tool. So it's really a Uber that is using a levitating car, if you want, for this to be more efficient.
Wow! I mean, this is really fantastic. This is really fantastic, and so much benefits. Whether it's just, and I don't mean this in a disrespectful way, just reducing it 20% on the emissions, which is by itself, a fantastic number. Especially these days, you know, when everybody is talking about being green here, more sustainable there. And of course, just today, I had a conversation with a colleague of mine where we've been discussing exactly this fact, you know, where everybody is putting on its own page, oh yeah, we are sustainable. Okay, yeah, but what does it actually mean, you know? And now you guys are coming around the corner and you're like, boom, 20% saved with us, you know, just a very compared a simple change, meaning from a regular shipment to your you know,
with only advantages
Uber solutions, so to speak. And that's just amazing. This is brilliant.
Yeah, and this really comes from the fact, and this is something to be emphasized quite strongly. The latest design standard container is from 1974. So just take your grandfather Citroën DS, right? Wait 50 years without any changes, and then go with the latest DS3. You will have the same fuel reduction. You will have the same comfort. You will have a GPS integrated. You will have all those things that you could never think about before. So this gap allows us to have a very strong added value on a message which is simpler, which is very simple. It's not about, but once we have a fleet of container, we'll be able to optimize and in consequence be less CO2 efficient. Here it's really like we are loading 5 tons more. So you need that many less shipment for the same volume transport, and that's it. And this simplicity of message is quite easy too for an industry that really need sustainable reduction.
And at the same time, you're also increasing efficiency, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, for those 5 tons, you know, your client or the warehouse or wherever you're picking it up, they don't have to do anything more other than, you know, bring the forklift 2 or 3 times more around the corner, but they do not have to wait for a new container. They do not have to go to all the scheduling process, et cetera, you know, which is fantastic
It's actually the opposite, right? They have to do, so we have really three main verticals or type of cargo that we bring a lot of value with. And this you can see as our niches. The first one is flexi-tank transportation, bulk liquids, right, in flexi-tanks. That's where we can really load about 20% more cargo. Then there's sensitive goods. That's where, basically we remove the need for insulative material to be added, so to manage basically. So we're not refrigerating, it's passive insulation, but there we remove a lot of operations as well. And the last one is high value goods. And in all of those, we actually remove operations, right? We're actually making it simpler. So it's not only that you might need only 5 shipments instead of 6, so you actually have, you know, 1 shipment less to worry about as an end customer, right, to manage and so on. But each of these shipments is actually simpler to manage because, for example, if you take, I'm going to go just one specific, right, to show, because that's where logistics becomes then nerve-wracking, right? It's the nitty-gritty details that you have to go through day to day. If you take flexi-tank transportation, to actually load a flexi-tank, you need first to identify a container that is suitable enough because usually they're, you know, because it's steel, they're dented, there might be rust, they might be too old or fragile on the walls. So you need to inspect that container to make sure that there's no risk. And then you need to prepare that container to be able to protect the walls so that the bag, that is put inside is not damaged by a dent in the wall and whatnot. So there's about, close to an hour of work plus manpower and so on that is required for that protection. It still doesn't prevent any, all the problems. And just these two things, for example, our customers don't have to go through it, right? Because we're basically guaranteeing that the containers are going to be in top-notch condition because they're meant for that, right? And the walls are completely flat and smooth, so they don't have any risk in terms of puncturing and so on. So you reduce already there about an hour plus the materials needed just for the preparation of the container itself, plus sometimes the back and forth that these customers had to do when they said the container that we received was not the right one. So we're trucking it back to the terminal and getting a new one. That might fit our requirement, and then you have the fights that has to happen in between to actually do the exchange. It's actually just simplicity. We're trying to bring simplicity to the whole space by saying, don't worry about a container. We're making the container our business.
That's fantastic. And if I may add here, what I've also seen in the prototypes that I've seen on the Munich exhibition, the floor, completely plain, no screw or bolts or whatever looking out, Bomb. And I was like, wow, how are you guys even doing this? This is, to me, that's something completely new. This is really a game changer, also when you're loading like even simple floor loaded goods or something like that, where you normally you also have to take into consideration, how old is the container that you're using? Because obviously at a certain point, and you go in with a heavy enough forklift, boom. What happens? It will crack at one point through the floor. Can you also go into detail a little bit on that? Because I think that that's also an important important note here.
I would say that the floor is one of the important parts, but the most important is the way we are iterating into the design and the way in the way we are considering and listening to our customer feedback. So we do have a design iteration that is very close to, for example, smartphone here, meaning that we follow the container that you have seen was the V2.4. In the version 2.4, the one that is currently under production is the 3.1. And at each and every steps, we are improving onto the design based on our customer feedback. Once again, it follows this voice of customer approach, where we really want to make sure that we have made a container that is perfectly suited for those three verticals that Naik mentioned previously. And in consequence, one of the feedback was exactly this: the nails and the lack of quality of the of the current plywood floor. And on our side, the solution was to define a new type of protective coating and insulation structure and floor structure for this to be prevented. Same thing regarding the walls that are perfectly flat, and more than even more than aerodynamics, it allows us to avoid any liner. And it allows to us to avoid any dent neither. So all those different characteristics allow, in the end, the container to create more value. And this is really this approach of, you know, we go see the customer and we get what are the most important feature that they need now, while we are preparing for the future, because all those containers that are all those features that we mentioned are very useful for the operators, for the BCOs, for the freight forwarders to proceed with their operation. But in the end, the main goal of this is to have afterward a level of digitalization that will be allowed to predict, for example, cargo state prediction, insurance claim management, information about ETA that are better done, or geofencing when we are in a certain level of the ports. And this is really this approach that needs to be understood, is that now, once we change the paradigm of the container, we are using this container afterward to expand into other verticals.
What I really love about that, I mean, to me, you know, as I've also studied economics, of course, that's for me just a perfect real-life example of the PDCA cycle. Like, plan, do, check, act. Because normally what you're seeing out there is like, hey, that's our solution. Hey, or that's the product. Take it or leave it. You know, of course, you're maybe a little bit able to tweak it here and there. But if you have your regular container, that there ain't much that you're able to change, you know. So with your approach and how you're describing how you are reinventing each and every model, so to speak, of a container or phase of a container, you know, and advancing even further, growing further, you know, and that's just to me, that's just brilliant, you know. Now you will come back.
and that says no.
and just to finish on this element, we are doing this in a very smooth way, meaning that we are not disrupting the market in a way that they would need other type of crane, or the industry would need another way of using the container. Of course, the container as a service model is a flexible way of using this technology, but in the end, it's based on the model that the industry knows well already, which is the shipper own container model for shipping lines that I'm pretty sure everyone here is aware of. So the goal for us is to do really this smooth transition for this innovation, to avoid creating friction, but to help everyone on those verticals. And this is the last aspect of the way we see this product. We are Swiss, right? We try to be as neutral as possible. We don't want any war or conflict. We just are making a good quality product, expanding further.
That's really amazing. And I can see already, you know, in the comments, you already got some new friends and some new fans and followers there. Just bringing up here real quick, John, appreciate it for your comment. As a former container manager / director, I have literally struggled through ITV security and container loading. I see and appreciate advances in container utility. And this even goes further. Regina also jumps on. Now, this is exciting on the tank side, and there is already a small discussion starting here between John and Regina, whereas John was asking for, there's a question there. Are there smart tankers? And
So
yeah, go
just
ahead.
to answer this question, first of all, thank you very much, John and Regina, for your interest. And yes, there are other options in terms of those designs. For the moment, we kept our focus on the dry boxes, but more from a notion of business development and market traction. There will be other solutions that we can think and that we could consider at a later stage. It would be a pleasure for sure to discuss this further. But here we do have a very clear roadmap and strategy for us to expand in those specific verticals.
Our Nest container, the one that was unveiled and that Christoph, if I'm not mistaken, you saw as well in Munich, was is the 40-foot high cube.
Yes.
And this one really focused, so the 20-foot is really focused on increasing payload for flexi tanks and insulation, coupled with the visibility. The 40-foot high cube is focused on weight reduction, security, very high emphasis on security and insulation as well. So really going to target more and more the sensitive and high-value goods segments with a highly secured container. But now, beyond that, the advantages that we mentioned, advantages of sustainability, which should be pervasive, and visibility should be pervasive. Those are two industry needs that are always growing. On the structural advantages, especially on insulation and weight reduction, those will be two areas where, you know, those of you that have open business cases where you see value with alternative containers to be manufactured, whether those are dry bulk containers, things like that, we're more than happy to open discussions. We're a very industry-led, customer-led company, right? We have the technology expertise and the infrastructure now to drive and deploy our technologies, our solutions to customers and partners. But in terms of the problems that we solve, if we were to, we would have too many problems to try and look at the same time. So we really like to have either customers or partners helping us, you know, prioritizing where it makes more sense. That's why we ended up with the 20 and 40-foot high cube right now.
Fantastic. Yeah, David was already alluding to when you had your problems with the internet, like where I
Sorry.
was just saying that's just the perfect PDCA cycle, you know, where you're putting out a solution, which is not just a solution, but it's actually creating value from A to Z and all the way back again, you know. And then for next generation, you're already proving that based on the feedback that you've received from your partners, customers, etc. And that's just so, in my opinion, this is really brilliant, you know, and that's really, really a game changer. And you can see it throughout the whole, yeah, the whole product, let alone the smart aspect, but just on the physical,
Yeah.
on the physical container, you know. And
Honestly, I don't
so.
want to undermine us too much. It is not there at all on the container side, because as David mentioned before, the last iteration is a little bit more than 50 years old, so that's a very long cycle to iterate a product. But it's something that exists, you know, and is well known in other industries. So in the end, we're not reinventing the wheel. We're taking what works best in other industries, what has been proven to deliver most value, and applying it in an area where we feel that there is a lot of missed opportunities, a lot of challenges to fix. Yeah, in that regard, we're not reinventing the wheel, really not. We're applying what works best and what we have worked on in other areas.
So basically, you're the summary of various best case scenarios, simply put in one solution. Is that right?
Exactly.
Exactly.
And in the
I like that.
disregarded objects, which is a container, yeah.
Right. Absolutely. Go ahead.
And maybe to cover another aspect of it, because for a PDCA cycle to work well, we need to have a very strong connection with the customers. And customers that we have are the Procter & Gamble, for example, of those world that are the most connected to the cargo and that are the most in the interest of seeing and getting more visibility of it. So we have created here a very strong network of innovators as BCOs, and then we are expanding a network of partners with freight forwarders, shipping line, custom agent, a maritime agent, to make sure that we can deliver to those customer the best product. And this is another aspect which is important for a PDCA cycle to work. We need to have the right entities around that federate around this, not only internally but externally too, because it just a very nice anecdote here. And this is one of those things where we've been quite shocked to see the difference here. We presented the version 1.0 that now I'm a bit ashamed to consider as a version 1.0. The lashing rings.
It is close to our heart, though.
It is. But there have been quite a nice design improvement since then. So we were presenting the product, and at some point, one of our customer at the time, partner at the time, looked at the lashing rings and told us that the lashing rings, as they were not the way they would like them to be. They would have liked them to be closer to the wall to avoid putting any danger on the back. And we heard this, and we directly changed. We just asked for a design change note, which is completely normal for our industry. And then the other container they received had this new lashing rings, and they were impressed, because for them this transition is not something that is happening too often. So they receive a container and they have no choices. This is what you said, John, before. The only thing that you can do is reject a container, but you cannot design or improve on the design of a container. And this change of mindset was interesting, because from that point on the lashing ring, we've had from them, I don't know, a good dozen of new feature to be developed in, because as they understood that we were actively listening to their need, they started to popping with a lot of other ideas, with very loufoque one and very, very useful others. And this type of synergy is very important to happen. Mm-hmm.
And I think this also, you know, I hope I used the right word here. And I also think that this potentiates the development and evolvement, so to speak, of a container, right? Because you can really go so fast, and you can, in a short period of time, you can really climb up, metaphorically speaking, a huge learning curve with your containers, right?
Exactly. And this is the reason why we need to be very targeted onto the vertical that we want to grow in, both liquid transport, sensitive good, and high value good, to make sure that our container is well targeted into those three verticals. Mm-hmm. And then we will be able to expand horizontally once we get a big chunk of this current market.
I hear you. Mike, you
want to? No, I just wanted to bounce on the targeted bit as well. Just to clarify something that we mentioned in the beginning on the business model, right? Our container as a service model. Is that we also are very targeted in the regions that we are, because again, the simplest way to understand this is we're making the container our business, right? So we're not, we're telling customers, we want to make sure that your cargo goes in the best equipment possible that reduces as much as possible your burden, and you get, you know, as much ecological visibility value as possible out of that shipment. We make it our service. Which means that in order to provide that service with the flexibility that we intend, we have to make sure that everything is happening well from depot to depot, right? Therefore, we have a network of depots that we work with, meaning that our services are available in specific regions. Right now, we have opened extensively Europe. Southeast Asia is being extended. We have a head shipments as well, specifically to Turkey. In the US, and that is how we are able also to manage that a mobility service that you were mentioning before, right? That Uber analogy. It will be Uber, but between the regions where we can provide you with the service.
Mm-hmm. Appreciate that. And this was also to be my next question. Also on the trade lanes themselves. So for instance, I mean, of course, that you offer, let's say, imports from Southeast Asia up to Europe, for instance, or to the US, but also, or would you also offer, let's say, intra-Asia, or can you also, yes, you know, wildly connect, let's say, Latin America to, I don't know, Turkey, for instance?
It's a great question, and the short answer is absolutely yes. We have deep sea routes that we opened, but also are extensively addressing short sea opportunities. So in Europe, for example, we have signed a partnership recently with Navex, the Portuguese agency, and they themselves have a lot of short sea opportunities to where the containers would be very relevant. And we're extending similar opportunities short sea in Europe and short sea in Southeast Asia.
Wow. Perfect. So I see you're really ramping up your growth, you know, not just in terms of the product itself, but also in terms of the availability.
It is necessary. Both come hand in hand. Mm-hmm. It is our ability to scale that helps us serve large customers like Procter & Gamble that David mentioned before.
I gotta jump in real quick with another question from the audience. John is really active today. I see that.
Thanks, John.
John asks, have you redesigned the interior lashing points / hooks, or have they remained the same?
Yep. So the answer is that we are using a pallet guide on which we are embedding the lashing rings within the structure itself, meaning that the lashing rings are now flush to the container wall, and you don't see any protrusion or rings outside the wall itself. So once you need to lash your cargo, you just need to take the hook and span set it straight away.
Wow! Yeah. There you go, John. I hope you've noted that down. Wow! Perfecto. But yeah, this is why we're coming together, because we are talking about what's going on. This is also, we are explaining why you're doing the things that you do. John, once again, appreciate the interest and the question. Thank you. Really happy to have you on the show again. Appreciate it. Sigma LLC also has a question here. Let me pull this up. How does your technology leverage advanced analytics and artificial intelligence to optimize supply chain operations? Pretty good question. Appreciate it, Sigma LLC.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot for the question, and that's a great one, because actually we have an extremely so our company really has three major axis of technologies that we work on. The two that we have mentioned so far a lot are structural innovation, IoT, right, Internet of Things innovation, and the last one is definitely digital or AI, as you're mentioning. So we're not only leveraging analytics and artificial intelligence, we're literally working on advanced subjects on the matter. The fact actually that we're able to provide a service like container as a service, right, where we can give flexibly the containers to customers, is actually on the back of us being able to manage these containers very efficiently from a data analytics point of view, from an algorithmic point of view. So this is something that we extend more and more to customers. It's then the information, the data that they get from the containers themselves, that we can help them not only in better understanding how the flows are happening, live or after the shipments with them, but also to provide more and more in the future predictive analytics, if you want, in regards to their shipments, because different cargo all needs all have different requirements, and the data can give us a lot of information about how to improve future flows as well.
Wow, appreciate that. Thank you so much for diving into the details on that, Naik. Highly appreciate that. Quick question, though, that comes to my mind as well is, you've already alluded to, you're working with IE Procter & Gamble, like really big BCOs, etc. How large is your container fleet, roughly?
So in regards to at the moment, we are in the early phases of our industrialization, and the target by the end of the year will be a little bit less than 2,000 containers that will have been deployed, basically. And give or take, you know, we want to ramp up to about 10,000 containers within the next 18 months. That will be the targets.
Wow. Okay. So, yeah, for interested folks, go ahead, share the link on for YouTube and Spotify, etc. Because yeah, someone is hungry. Yeah, someone's looking for a new client, which makes absolutely sense. I mean, product is just fantastic, and also the way the container was presented in Munich. You know, if you can really see it, there's just so many great commodities that came up, especially for the high value goods that you mentioned. I mean, we've read that countless times, actually, on pretty frequent occasions, which is somewhat scary, but I think on the other hand side also a little bit normal, I guess. Talking about theft, you know, I remember throughout the COVID pandemic, especially Los Angeles, you know, around the train station, where many containers were, you know, maybe not fully robbed, but at least breached into. I've seen firsthand your fantastic concept, by the way, on the locks that you guys have on your containers. And that just takes security, or the security aspect, on a whole new level.
Something that should be normal, right? I mean, yes. those are really literally the boxes on which a lot of the value in the world is transiting. And right now, a child with a scissor can open containers because they're not locked, right? They just have a seal on them. Mm-hmm. So those are some of the innovations that seem absolutely necessary, absolutely obvious for us, and that again emphasize a little bit our commitment to make sure that things work well and continuously improve end to end. And with all stakeholders involved, we have discussions also with customs and so on to try to bring security in these processes as well.
That's really amazing. And, you know, there are just so many other valuable cargoes being shipped out of the world. I mean, just if I think loud, you know, all sorts of course, medical stuff, you know, of course, all sorts of metals, talking about copper, for instance, you know, which now and then also tends to be to get lighter on the way throughout the seven seas, where you guys really come in and make a significant difference, you know. Plus, you also have, as far as I remember the presentation correctly, I think you also have a live log on door openings, breaches, etc. So it's not just noted somewhere, you know, oh yeah, container got somewhere open, but you can actually pinpoint it and can tell them, hey, look, it was highway whatever, exactly, 97 from A to B, exactly on this gas station, it got open.
Exactly, yeah. And it's really, so all the example that you're giving here are as many additional feature that our product offers. So we talk about door security, which is a big aspect of us, of our feature. You are talking about data log for example, even custom clearance to be expedited at some point for the simple way of knowing that the container has been digitally sealed at the warehouse and not opened during the entire transport. There are so many additional services and solution that we can afterward upsell and distribute to any other stakeholders along the chain. Because right now we focus on the BCOs, but as Sigma LLC rightfully mentioned, the goal once we start to have a fleet is to think of the other solution that we will be able to provide to other customers and expand from this.
Appreciate that. Thank you for the little deep dive here, David. Maybe also a question, as I said in the beginning, the future is here with you guys, and we've learned that you continue to push the envelope yeah, that you're listening to your clients, that you're focused on the industry, and continue to improve step by step your models, your fleets generation by generation. And I know it's hard to say as of today's perspective, but can you give us a little bit an outlook of number one, A, of course, what to expect further? And Naik already alluded to a little bit on tank solutions or bulk solutions, etc. But is there something else that we can expect? Number one, and number two would be also for the market as such, how do you think this will change within the next 5 to 10 years, if you can share that with us?
Yeah, so there are some of those things. I'm pretty sure you get the fact that they are a bit both IP sensitive and strategy sensitive. But if we keep the thing on what we can present, the first thing is that right now our CSC certified container is a 20-foot. We will have a 40-foot by the end of the year, with additional feature on the security, the one that you mentioned before, and on the insulation too, and on the floor, that I'm pretty sure, John, you will enjoy even more, because there will be quite a nice innovation on this part too. And by doing so, we want to focus even more on the sensitive good market. The second aspect for us is to grow drastically into the bulk liquid transport, because this container, the 20-foot container, this V2.4 or V3.1, is now extended in terms of use, and it's now a product that we want to see running more and more. For our market expansion to be deeper. And the final point of what we want to distribute is the digital services on top of the container. So really see the container a bit as a smartphone, and in consequence we will be building additional app on this smartphone for specific stakeholders to be using those features. I'm really thinking, for example, if you're talking about sensitive good, everything regarding cargo state prediction is something that we will be able to train and support more and more in terms of our model for those features to be directly upsell to direct customers for their waste management.
Fantastic. Fantastic. I also got a quick question coming in the audience.
Oh, yeah.
Sigma LSE. Sigma asks, how do you measure the success and the impact of your solutions? Which is a fantastic question, by the way. Appreciate it, Sigma.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Look, we have a very pragmatic approach, being Swiss, in what we do. We run with each of our customers and partners, we measure the return on investment, right, for the shipments that they run. So really look at what was it like to ship the cargo before using our solution. What is it afterwards? And we measure where are the economical gains coming from. You know, what is the has there been an improvement on the shipment shipping quality, the administrative processes behind, things like that. Basically, run a full ROI. So that's one way to measure the economical gain. And the ecological one, we actually work with independent third-party companies to validate the emission gains from using our solutions. And we then apply that to the specific shipments that we run through. So we were able, basically, to help customers and partners with a clear understanding of what has been gained, you know, in terms of taking everything into account. Sometimes reduction in headaches is not taken enough into account, but those are also put on the table, because generally people are a little bit happier using these types of solutions. So we try to quantify that as much as possible, and then we quantify as well the ecological impact.
Fantastic. Fantastic. I really love that you're also keeping track on those metrics, which also shows and underlines again what you already alluded to, the importance of not only the customer feedback, but that you keep improving further and further. And I see there are more and more comments coming in that I also want to share real quick. Quick shout out to my buddy Ian Weiland from LA. Thank you for joining. Thanks for taking the time. Then we have another comment. Unfortunately, I don't see a name. Congratulations for this innovation and for thinking about this as a tool that can add value, traceability, and be eco-friendly. I hope this, I think this is called or should be a service. I hope to the service this soon in LATAM. In the future, will you be featuring other models such as flat racks and open top containers?
So, reading the question in terms of the design decision, it will really be use case dependent. And to see what are the next step of the roadmap, it's not at all impossible. It's nonetheless not something that we are showing too much in terms of the roadmap, just to make sure that we focus on the ones that we are developing for the moment.
Perfect. Perfect. And John is again commenting. John says, gone are the days of having to climb on top of containers to FX the radio ITV devices. Oh, the memories. I think you got him. You already got John. I think he's ready to take some containers from you.
Yeah, please send us a LinkedIn message afterward. They are business we'll do together for sure.
Fantastic. Fantastic. And with that being said, and that's actually a good point, David, I'm sure someone listening, probably John, afterwards will be thinking, hey, man, there's just so much fantastic information. And maybe there are also people and companies that say, hey, I think this is exactly what we've been looking for years, maybe even for decades. How can they get in contact with you guys?
Us. Right. you can reach us first on our website, ayla.com, which is now written there. Mm-hmm. Please don't hesitate also to send us an email to either David or myself. He is david@ayla.com. I'm naik@ayla.com. You can also reach us on generally on business discussions on business@ayla.com. And from there, we'll be able to literally drive with you, look at the different, you know, business cases that you would like to explore. And just like I mentioned before, we can, you know, analyze a specific business case, see if the value would be there or not, and then run trials together. That's how our process works.
Fantastic. Fantastic. I appreciate that. And of course, just in case you're now, while you're listening to this, you're driving in the car, listening over Spotify, whatever. If you forgot about, you know, how the company was written or, you know, last names of our guests, please feel free. You can also contact me anytime on LinkedIn, and I'll be more than happy to direct your inquiries over to David or to Naik. No problem at all. Will be my pleasure. John just wrote, I've already sent connection requests to both David and Naik. Fantastic. I take 10%, by the way. And with that being said, it was a fantastic conversation today. And of course, I appreciate you, Naik, David, for joining us, for taking the time and to share a little bit more about the new box and your holistic concept, which is just epic. And also want to say a big thank you for the audience for taking your time out of your busy day as well, for joining in to listen to three logistics people talking about ways to improve the container and the services around. So thank you again for coming by and for taking the time. Highly appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much for your excellent question. Thank you very much for having organized this. And it's a real honor to be discussing with everyone here. So thank you for that.
Likewise.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Appreciate it. And wishing everybody a fantastic day. See you around next time.
Cheers.
Bye-bye.